You're listening to SBS News.
Mia Stewart is a first-time filmmaker who's piecing together a story about one of history's controversial characters.
Hiro Onoda was one of many Japanese soldiers sent to the Philippines in late 1944.
Long after the end of World War II, Army straggler Hiro Onoda continued his personal war on Lubang Island, reportedly killing up to 30 civilians. Mia's relative, Emilio Viana, was one of them.
Emilio Viana was my grandfather's eldest brother, and he was shot and killed on March 8th, 1951. It was a day before his birthday. My great-uncle Emilio Viana was shot in the upper part of his leg, and I recall reading that that was a tactic that Onoda and his men would do to preserve bullets, but cause the maximum amount of damage was to hit a major artery on the leg. And as it was, my great-uncle Emilio Viana bled out because of that gunshot wound. I actually first learned about my great-uncle being killed through my mother. I was pretty shocked and angry because he was just an innocent, you know, person who was working on the farm. And he was unarmed, and he was basically killed in cold blood.
Mia is a Filipina Australia who is working in Los Angeles on popular international television productions. Her unfinished documentary, Searching for Onoda, outlines how the lives of her relatives were changed forever by the death of her great uncle Emilio.
Had his two young sons, who were my uncles, with him at the time. His young sons carried him back to the canoe and canoed him back to the main township. Unfortunately, he just lost too much blood and he was dead by the time he arrived. So the impact that my great uncle's death had on the family was pretty huge. They couldn't continue their education in Manila. They had to stay on the island and provide for their family and look after their younger siblings.
For almost 15 years, Mia has researched the impact of Onoda's fanatical behaviour. Yet questions remain. Why did Onoda continue shooting at civilians decades after Japan's surrender? Monash University's Beatrice Treffelt has written a book on Japanese army stragglers and says Onoda was acting out an extreme military mindset.
Japanese soldiers were not allowed to surrender, and he was encouraged to actually continue fighting behind the lines and engaging kind of guerrilla warfare.
For many years, the Japanese army dropped leaflets announcing the war's end. However, Onoda and a small band of Japanese army stragglers hid in the jungle and terrorized locals. Ms. Treffelt says we may never know what Onoda was really thinking.
He claimed later that he didn't know the war was over, but the person who found him made clear that, in fact, he had access to newspapers. He was carrying a transistor radio. I do wonder if it's a kind of sense of a sort of shared psychosis in a way, where two or three or four soldiers hang together, and this is a kind of idea that they just keep wanting to believe.
Hiro Onoda finally surrendered in 1974, age 52, and was pardoned by Philippines President Ferdinand Marcos. Mia Stewart says to this day, that pardon remains painful.
The victims' families were really hurt by the lack of acknowledgement from their own government. And at the time, in the mid-70s, unfortunately, Onoda's actions were an inconvenient truth for both countries, the Philippines and Japan. And so up until this point, their stories have never really been acknowledged.
Rudy Augustin Aguila is a former Lubang Island mayor who was in office when Onoda surrendered and expresses the views of many families.
Of course, people from Lubang were really upset that Onoda was pardoned so quickly. People were angry inside about what happened.
However, arriving back in Japan, Onoda was given a hero's welcome. For many Japanese people, Onoda embodied traditional virtues of bravery, loyalty, pride and commitment during wartime. Associate Professor Treffelt explains.
All these stragglers made people in Japan reflect on when they came home was really the kind of strength of that military indoctrination that soldiers had been told, soldiers of Japan never retreat.
In her unfinished documentary, Searching for Onoda, Mia Stewart says she finds it hard to reconcile the two narratives.
Onoda was the hero that post-war Japan needed. But he is not the hero in the stories of my uncles, my cousins, my grandparents, and my mother.
Onodar's fanatical devotion to duty is once again being celebrated in a new book by Werner Herzog and in a recent film, 10,000 Nights in the Jungle, by Arthur Harari, who spoke to Mia about his work.
My film, in a way, is a romantic point of view. I take him as a romantic and mythical figure.
It's that romantic view that Mia Stewart hopes to challenge by giving Onodar's victims a voice.
When I was interviewing family members and victims' families on the island, their reaction to being able to tell their story for the first time made me realise that how important that this is to be able to give them a voice and a platform to finally tell their experience.
Conflicting views of Onodar may never be reconciled, but Mia Stewart hopes her documentary can shed new light on an uncomfortable chapter of war in the Philippines.
We will never really know if Onodar knew the war was over or not, but regardless, he killed innocent civilians. And I can't undo those deaths, but I can change how we tell the story and Onodar's legacy.
Alan Lee, SBS News.